I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, praise the Lord. As always, it's a blessing and an honor to be with each and every one of you. Help me to put my headphones on. Whoops. It's a blessing to be with each and every one of you. I want to wish each of you, you know, this is the last week of Advent, and I want to wish each and every one of you a beautiful and blessed end of Advent. A time of pondering, a time of waiting, getting ready to rejoice. And I hope this Advent was really a time for us to be still and to think about, as I had been saying, what are we really waiting for? And has our hearts been prepared through this joyful waiting to receive not only what, meaning the Christmas season, but for who? Of course, being Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And I just want to praise and thank each and every one of you in a very special way for being faithful to the gospel. So many today are not. So many today have walked away. So many today have really seemed to have lost their way. And I think for those who have remained faithful in the church, for those who have been, hold it. Going to sneeze. For all, I'm one of those people. I have this very unusual thing. It's even got a name for it. But if I cough, which I just did, I will sneeze so many times in a row. And trying to get my phone off of here. So I just want to praise and thank God for each of you in a very special way. And I pray today that all of us become more and more aware of who we are in Christ, that we are his feet and his hands and his voice. I don't know whether I announced it on Tuesday. I think I did. But just in case, I'm going to mention it again. As you know, I Maria Middleton's My Little Vessel of Grace, I was her spiritual director. And if you weren't listening on Tuesday, I pray that this news will bring rejoicing to you as it did to me. While Maria Middleton was before, well, that from the day she was diagnosed until the day the Lord called her home, I was her spiritual director, as I said. And I sort of nicknamed her my little vessel of grace. And unbeknownst to me, it completely stuck with her. And they referring to her as just as that little vessel of grace. So on Monday, we announced it. I left Malvern Retreat House for the weekend, after the weekend with Father Jimmy, Father Blunt, and our Abbot retreat we do each year. And then Monday morning, I went up and did a retreat at Our Lady of Częstochowa. And it was announced publicly that Maria's cause has been opened. I want to praise and thank God for this beautiful, what shall I say? I won't say surprise because, well, Maria was still alive before her, even her last day in the hospital. She was in the hospital for 3 months. And during that time, literally, hundreds of people prayed outside of her room. But up until that time that she went in and the last time, she never came home from the hospital. I can tell you that one day Maria was fierce, in a good way, mighty, a little but fierce, as my mother used to say to me when I was a little girl, because I was always short. She used to say, "You might be small, but you're fierce." And so I always said that too about Maria. My mother would say, "Mighty, but that's what she say. She'd say, "You're little, mighty, and fierce." And I always felt that way about Maria. Well, here, the petition was posed to the Archbishop and the Office for Opening Causes. And really, what shall I say? The cause was accepted, and the Archbishop is opening the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. The investigation of her life of virtue and not only virtue but holiness, because it's only two ways you become a saint. One is martyrdom, automatic, and the other is to live a really a heroic and virtuous life. And of course we know that she did live a virtuous and heroic life in many ways. Now, Maria was only 18 when she died, and at this retreat, the announce was open up for her to be a servant of God. And then during that time, the entire thing begins. It will go to Rome after the Archbishop does what he does here, and then it goes to Rome. And the Rome picks a postulator who will be in charge of her case here. And then after that, servant of God, and then becomes venerable. Then after that, blessed, like blesses. We're privileged in our day and our age to not only St. Pierre, but also St. Carlo. And they were blessed and then beatified, which they each needed a miracle. So anyway, please pray for her cause. I remember very clearly, Maria, we were sitting in her kitchen, and at that time she had pretty much lost the ability to walk, and she had a little walker. But she looked me straight in the eye and said to me, Kathleen, because she had written two different dates. She was really believing that she would be healed. And she wrote down two different dates at two different times that she was hoping it would happen on. Of course, it didn't happen. And this one day, when the days passed, she looked me in the eye and she said, Kathleen, I know you know the answer. She said, am I going to die? And I said, well, Maria, only God knows the answer to that. And she said, and she was no-nonsense kind of a girl. And she said, I know, you know, please tell me, am I going to die? And I looked at her as intently as she looked at me, and I said, Maria, God alone is the author of all life. What I will tell you is this, we're all going to die. But in your case, when you go home to the Lord, you will absolutely become a canonized saint in the Catholic Church. Her eyes got like saucers, and I said, and that is absolute. That was a word given to me right by the Lord, right, the Holy Spirit. It was absolute. I remember her taking her hand and raising it high, and she said, then Kathleen, I will raise my cross high, and I will offer every ounce of suffering that I'm going through to save souls. And that's exactly what she did. She offered all of her suffering up, physical, emotional, any kind of suffering. She offered every part of it up for other souls. And then here Monday we announced that the cause, the first part of that, the beginning of the process, will be opened. So please pray for that. Of course, her parents, beautiful parents, faithful and true, they joined me giving the retreat. I spoke and opened the retreat up with the first conference, and I invited Susan to come up, and then she spoke her part, and then she invited her husband to come up, and Brian finished that out before lunch. We broke for lunch, and then the afternoon I just did the rest of the conference myself. And I think it's amazing. And my granddaughter's class was there at the retreat center in Malvern. And I drew them in by saying, you know, it was all adults and teachers and people who knew Maria and loved her. And this, the school, St. John the Baptist, the Academy, Regina Academy of St. John the Baptist, which Mr. Middleton started that school. It had been St. John the Baptist, and he brought the, what shall I say, the school into being as a Regina Academy, which is a classical education. And it's phenomenal. I mean, some of my grandchildren went through that school, and the last one through it now was the youngest of Brian and Chrissy's children, who I live with, and that's little Mary Grace, is an eighth grader now, cannot believe she's going into high school. But her class was invited to join us when that was announced, to join us for the retreat. And I sort of wanted to draw them into the retreat to be a part of it. And I, one of the things I said to them was, I want you to really think about this. I said, when I was a kid, any saint you knew of lived in a 15th century, 16th century, 17th century, and not till late, until the 19th century and part of the 20th century, that saints were beatified and canonized. I said, but you will be able to say that there was a conference you attended because Maria went to the same school you're going to. Maria also sat in the same seats that you sat through these years. Maria ate in the same cafeteria you ate in. She wrote the same papers and schoolwork and tests that you did, each of you. And you will be able to say to your children, your grandchildren, Saint Maria, pray for us. And you'll be able to say you to your grandchildren and family, and you'll be able to say to each of them, I went to school where Saint Maria went to school. I was a student where she was a student. And I sat at a conference when it was announced for the first time that St. Maria Middleton's cause was opened. And I think that hit home with them. So for all of us, you know, we certainly know that the Holy Father is raising, well, Mother Church is raising up young saints, new saints in the church. We just had the two that were just, you know, St. Pierre now and St. Carlos Acutis. And there's two other young people that are causes have been opened for, and now Maria. So this is an exciting time that we all live in. But anyway, I wanted to share that with you. I think, it's so exciting. And I ask you to share that word, that her cause has been opened, and to please pray that as they continue to investigate her life, which will go on through the whole time of servant of God, and then it'll go into venerable. And if she's named venerable, then she needs one miracle to move from venerable to blessed, and then one blessed to become beatified as a saint. And so I'm going to read the gospel today. I couldn't wait to tell you that because I didn't know if you were, I don't remember if I told it Tuesday, I think I did, but now you are very much aware, and I do count on those prayers. Of course, we know it usually takes a long time, but in this case, I think Maria was fast-tracked, and I've seen that day now come to fruition where her cause was open, and I don't know, I'm far from a young woman, but I am very young at heart and still go wherever God sends me. And he's kept me in good health where I'm able to do that. And I will be forever grateful. But I hope I see with my own eyes, not only did I see the beginning of the process becoming a servant of God. But some years, some saints, it takes years and years and years and years before they're even moved to venerable. And I hope and pray to God that one day I will still be here to see her move to the next level. Anyway, let me go into the gospel today because that's what we do on this day. And this is from Matthew 1, verse 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from the dream, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but her, this must be a misprint here, but her new, oh, this should be he. "But he knew her not until she had borne a son, and he called his name Jesus." Okay, we know Jesus means he will save his people. Emmanuel means God is always with us. He shall be called Jesus because that's exactly what he was born to do, to die, that you and I might live. And, you know, so many fulfilled scriptures to every single one. Many who came into the world could have been, many of those scriptures could have referred to several people. But every single one of them that was prophesied, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus came into the world, then he was the only person to meet and fulfill every single one of them. They were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You and I, we know of God's promises. We know of his promises in our life, in our own lifetime, what he has promised for all those who believe. And we know it well, and we praise and thank God that we do. But in knowing it, in times of, let's say, adversity, especially when we're facing not only adversity, but different challenges in our lives, maybe uncertainty. Maybe we have so much going on in our lives that it's hard to believe, like, where is he? Where is he? Everybody thought he's always coming. Where is he? Or when you were having, maybe going through sickness. Frank, there's cameras going off and on. But maybe through times of sickness, physical sickness, maybe in times of grief when you've lost someone you love so very much. Frank, if you're hearing this, the camera's off. But at any rate, I just want to share with each and every one of you that just as the prophet Jeremiah and Isaiah spoke words of hope and hopelessness situations for Israel, the Davidic dynasty was corrupt. And it's off. And because of that, you know, the people didn't expect Jesus to come as a baby, for sure. They were waiting, the people of Israel were waiting for this, maybe I have something to do in there. Anyway, we're having a little problem here, a little glitch with the video. So hang in there, I'll still be broadcasting. Frank's going to try to get it up. But at any way, you know, many, what shall I say, many refused to believe when there was different dynasties. They were corrupt, unfit for a messianic king. And there were apostates like King Ahaz and so forth. They were weak. They were weak like, you know, Zechariah, and they were prophesied against. But they did occupy the throne of David. And they were not faithful to his promises to raise up and prepare the way for a righteous king from the line of David. And they lost faith, and they certainly weren't faithful to his promises. They said, who would rule forever over the house of David? The prophets, of course, trusted that God could somehow raise up a righteous shoot from the very stump of Jesse. I mean, it's scriptural. Their promises. And like the prophets, we are called in hope to believe against hope. Can we? Mary was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And she had to face emotions that would challenge her. She would be probably running through her mind. Remember, she was a young, you know, she was a teenager. And under the circumstances, scriptures are clear, she never really, some of them say, before they knew each other, you know, when they would refer any in those days as knowing a man, they were talking about being intimate with a man, have a relationship with a man. And the scriptures are very clear. Even when the angel came to Joseph and told him that, take Mary as your wife, this child within her is born of the Holy Spirit. But can you imagine that teenager when the angel appeared to her and said, fear not, Mary, God has found favor with you. As a matter of fact, many of the scriptures say, Mary, full of grace, God has found favor with you. I guess it's pretty shocking enough to have a person be told that, let alone by an angel. Can you imagine seeing an angel? How about today? I'm going to go out of here at 5 o'clock. Going to get in a car and head home. Could you imagine as I'm going out this door, if I saw an angel appear to me, I'd be, whoa! I'd be shocked, let alone comprehend what was really taking place. And if the angel of the Lord said to me, and brought to me a word from God. I've had many words that I know and believe were from the Holy Spirit, third person of the Blessed Trinity. God speaking to my heart from his heart. And he has told me through all these years to be faithful and to do what he's called me to do. And he said, put the rest in his hands. These are promises he is making. And I stepped out in them. But can you imagine carrying the weight of an announcement like that by an angel, no less? And believe it, I have seen an angel. I saw an angel right in Maria Middleton's hospital room right before she died, just a couple days before she died. The whole room, I brought Father Blunt up with me. I asked him to come with me to pray with me for Maria. And we went up together, and we did pray over her. And Father Jim, he saw all kinds of angels. I saw a lot of angels in the room, but I didn't see, I only saw one saint. He saw a lot of different saints. He said, "Do you see these?" I said, "I see one saint, but I do see all the angels." Now, had one of them broke that silence and appeared to me, given me a message, I'd been nonplussed, as probably any of you would. But Mary, she took that word, she took that message, and probably ran through her mind. I mean, the scripture has it happen one second after another, but it probably didn't. Probably gave her some time, and we say all of heaven must have been holding their breath to see what her response would be. And what does she say? After she's thinking about it, "I'm going to have to tell my mother and father. I'm going to have to tell St. Anne and Joachim, my mom and dad, that I'm pregnant, but it's okay. It's by the Holy Spirit." It's not an easy thing to believe. And Mary was raised in the temple. She knew the scriptures. Probably when that angel came to her and made the announcement, she probably had a lot to think very quickly. And what does she say? Her answer was quick. It was an answer to the question, was she going to accept the message from the angel that God found favor with her? Did he find favor with her? That had to go through her mind. Why did he find favor with me? And after she's thinking these things and examining her mind and her heart, something beautiful happened. She says, "Let it be done to me according to his word." Are we taking a break here? Are we? Yeah, okay. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
All right, we're back again. I think we have that camera up working now. And as a matter of fact, I think you probably caught me taking a bite of a chocolate chip cookie. That I love homemade chocolate chip cookies. Anita, thank you. So we're trying to unpack the gospel in such a way that we take a look at this beautiful young virgin. And I love how the scriptures tell us that for generations and generations, in the fullness of time, so God was looking for the fullness of time that who he would choose to bear his son, Jesus Christ, who would be the Savior of the world. And the scriptures say this, in the fullness of time, he chose Mary to be the mother of his son, that the Holy Spirit would overshadow Mary, and that the son she would carry within her womb would indeed be Son of the Most High God. And so I think for all of us, it tugs at our own heart, mind, and spirit, all these promises that the Lord left for each one of us, the ways he's promised us for our own baptism, our own First Holy Communion, our confirmation. Do we take that, those promises, I'll be with you always, even till the end of time, in times of sadness and difficulties and challenges and storms come into your life, I'll be with you always, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Do we trust that the way Mary trusted, in lieu of all the things that probably ran through her mind? She knew St. Anne and St. Joachim would never, ever believe unless it was revealed to her by God that indeed Mary was carrying a child with her womb, because she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and conceived this child. Only then she knew that's the only way they would have believed that. And yet she accepted a tremendous, an awesome, mind-boggling responsibility to make a decision to trust the promise that the angel brought her. She unequivocally, scripture said, let it be done unto me according to his word. She trusted in his promise. She trusted, she knew that's the only way she could be pregnant. She did not know man. She had no relationship, no relations with a man. And yet she was pregnant. So she trusted in that word. She trusted in that promise from generations and generations before, that in the fullness of time, as the Lord searched, he would find a virgin that would be the one to bear the Son, the only Son of God, Jesus Christ the Lord. And she said, yes, let it be done to me according to his word. And we know, too, that being a young woman like this, we know that undoubtedly it was going to be a tremendous challenge for her. Probably the most enormous position anybody could be charged with. And yet this young woman trusted blindly in the word of God that was sent to her through an angel. Now the reason probably, and I take this as Kathleen McCarthy, not church teaching here, I believe with all my heart and soul when the scripture said so clearly in the fullness of time. He searched for a virgin. He searched for a woman who would be mother of his son, truly God, truly man. And that is why we can trust all that time he searched it. And so what did he do? Because the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, not man, not a man, not any man, but the Holy Spirit came upon her and overshadowed her, and she conceived. That is the Immaculate Conception, if I ever heard it in the scriptures. There it is. In the fullness of time, God searched, and when there was none, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he overshadowed the virgin who he wanted to be the mother of his only begotten son. And so she was immaculately conceived in St. Anne's womb. Jesus Christ predisposed the grace from his passion, death, and resurrection to her, and she was immaculately conceived. Hard to believe? Yep. Just as hard as it is to believe that the Virgin was born and was impregnated by no man, conceived a child, unmarried, did not know man, had no relationship with a man, physical, but yet it was announced to her that she was full of grace, which to me speaks of the Immaculate Conception. It's only one time in all the scriptures, new and old, that refer to someone being full of grace, and that is Jesus Christ. And until that announcement was made, that was never given to anyone else except for the mother of the Son of God. Be not afraid, Mary. Full of grace, God has found favor with you. You will conceive and bear a son. And she said yes. That was her fiat. Yes, let it be done to me according to thy word. And how many of us truly can hold on to the promises of God? Joseph did. Joseph held on to that promise that the angel came to him and said, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. That had to be a pretty hard thing for Joseph. Had to be revealed so powerfully. Not only did the angel speak it to him in a dream, he was a righteous man. He was just going to divorce her quietly because he didn't want to shame her. She was unwed. He knew it wasn't his child. But he knew if the Lord sent an angel to him in a dream to tell him to marry Mary, that it was a child of God, child of our triune God. Then he took her as his wife because she would have been stoned in those days, being a woman pregnant, not married. And the shame would have been horrific. But he did believe. even though it wasn't his child, but he believed in the word that God sent to him, again through an angel. I often think that's one of the beautiful reasons that each one of us are sent into the world with our guardian angel. Scriptures tell us again, very clearly, that the role of our guardian angels is to bring to us the grace to do the will of God. Again, do we believe? Will this test our faith? Scriptures tell us this is another promise. The role of the angels are to do God's bidding in our lives. That's their role, right in the scriptures. The role of the guardian angel is to do God's bidding in our lives. So I say to you, does this challenge your faith? Does it challenge my faith? Will we believe under any cost? Will we continue to believe under any circumstance? And that's what we should be pondering all of this Advent season. To believe that the promise would be fulfilled. And that the Word, who was with God, always was, always will be. The Word was made flesh under the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like the Holy Spirit hovered over the world that was in chaos, the Holy Spirit hovered over the world and made it beautiful. He hovered over Mary, the Virgin Mother. A beautiful young Virgin Mother. And she was not divine at all. At all. She had the free will like we do. She could have said, I don't think I can handle this. Nobody's going to believe me. What do people think of me? But she didn't. Let it be done to me according to his word. So I say today, for all of us, when God speaks to us, hey, maybe one day and he will speak to you through an angel. What my eyes have seen and what I have heard, nobody would believe. And I keep it close to my own heart. But I know without a doubt that truly God Most High is still speaking to the hearts of his people, giving them tasks to carry out, even under the most difficult sets of circumstances and adversities and challenges. Because he sent that woman, the Virgin Mary, into the world. He chose her in the fullness of time. Because there was nobody completely full of grace. So she was conceived in her mother's womb, free of original sin, by the merits of her son Jesus Christ, through his passion, death, and resurrection, given to her, preempted, if you will, so that she received that grace in her mother's womb, so that the Son of God could be born in her womb, which was full of grace in her womb that would be Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, Jesus. He will be called Jesus. Jesus is what he would do. He would save his people. Emmanuel, that is what he does to this very day. He's with us. God is with us. So can we stand firm under the greatest adversities and challenges and situations in these days that are coming upon us, these very terrible times that will be coming upon us? Will we too stand in the gap? Will we believe in his promises when it seems impossible with man, with us? I believe so. I believe in you. I believe in myself that even under impossible situations, we will stand firm and we will believe in his promises that one day, we, whenever it comes, one day we will enter into eternal life with him forever. And you don't know how that will come about. But we certainly know his promises are true. And if we believe in those promises, we will be challenged to stand firm in them, no matter what we're faced with. And remember this, whatever you're going through right now, whatever challenges you have in your life right now, whatever adversities that you're going through, whatever darkness is all around you, remember, he tells us, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. I'm not going to reject you. I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm going to walk with you every moment, every instant of your life. Even though you might not see me, and maybe you will, but even though you may not see me, you can be sure that my promises, every one of them, will be fulfilled in your life. And it doesn't stop, because in the end, there'll be a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There'll be a new Jerusalem. There'll be a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a new heaven and a new earth. And when he comes, let us be prepared so that when he does come, we will be caught up with him. At the trumpet blast, we will be caught up with him if we're still alive, and if we are asleep in him and have passed away, we will be the first to be raised up. So he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll be with us to the very end. And he will walk with us through every challenge. I know people think it's hard to believe that we're not Christians. You really believe that a dead man rose? Oh, yes, we do. I've placed my hope on him and in him my whole life. Yes, I do. I believe that a dead man was dead for 3 days. But I believe he rose again just as he said he would. And he gave us his own mother to help us believe in those promises, just like she did. So my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Prepare and be prepared or whatever challenges are ahead, that we might never forget that he said, what's impossible for man is possible with God. I pray that you have a beautiful, holy, wonderful Christmas. Like days of past, remember going out when you were a kid and picking out that Christmas tree, or coming down when you were little and you believed and you saw this green tree in the morning and the next morning it was all decorated, all presents around the tree. Families gathering. People gathering for meals. My brothers and sisters, do not forget those that will not be surrounded by family, that will not have that joyful hope. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they're in a nursing home. Maybe they're somewhere with a caregiver. Maybe they're just lonely or broken. Maybe their whole world has just been turned upside down and they're searching. Where is he? He said he would be with me always. He would never leave me or forsake me. You'd be surprised with a knock on the door and a meal, maybe a piece of pie, maybe a little note telling them that God loves them, that they're not alone. Maybe inviting somebody to join you at the table of a family of believers that do believe, where these people or persons can see you were invited to experience family, love, welcome. God bless you, and I ask you to stay tuned for Dr. Raimondo, great friend, my dear broadcaster, and I'm sure he has a beautiful message for you. Again, have a beautiful and blessed and holy Christmas.